If you are an average American, about 40 years old, you're probably approaching Banana 10,000, just as I am. That's the first sentence from Banana, The Fate of the Fruit That Changed the World by Dan Capel. I'm Jason Snell, and this is Recently Read. So don't get me wrong, I like bananas. Bananas are good. But what got me to read Banana, The Fate of the Fruit That Changed the World, is that I was curious about something that I had heard, but had really not read about in depth. And that was the idea that the banana that we eat today, in most of North America anyway, most of Europe, is the wrong kind of banana. It's not the banana that became popular and made everybody love bananas. In fact, the famous story is that artificial banana flavor is supposed to taste, and it tastes awful, by the way, like the old banana. And this is true. And it's detailed in the book Banana by Dan Capel that there used to be a mass-produced banana, mass-farmed, called the Big Mike, Gros Michel. And it succumbed to a horrible disease called Panama disease. And so they ended up having to replace it with something called the Cavendish banana. Now, bananas have no seeds. At least these bananas have no seeds, which means that you basically just kind of break off part of the plant and plant it somewhere else. And so they're all clones of each other. And that is a huge problem for the health of the plant, because they're all the same. So if something can attack one plant, it can attack every single plant in the world. And that's what happened with the Gros Michel. And that is what is happening to the Cavendish. So part of the story of banana is the threat that the banana that we all grew up with is also fated to be doomed, that it will also run out of time and need to be replaced by something. Now, what I like about this book is that it's a bunch of different books in one. It moves fast, it's a fun read, it's a fast read, and it's covering a lot of different ground. It's covering scientific ground. Where did the banana come from? How was it cultivated? Why did it become popular? It tells social stories as well, because about the commercialization of banana harvesting and the creation of huge supply chains to get bananas to the people who want to eat them from the places where they were grown, which is largely for the North American audience, South and Central America. And there's a political story, because the influence of the banana companies in politics of the banana growing countries was so great. The concept of a banana republic is absolutely accurate. You could argue that United Fruit, which is now Chiquita, was basically responsible for decades of political unrest and violence in places like Costa Rica and Guatemala. So that's part of it, too. Part of it is learning things about a banana you didn't know. Like, I didn't realize just how important banana is as a food stock in areas where food is hard to come by, including parts of Africa. And in fact, there are lots of places in the world where bananas are eaten that are not the Cavendish banana. And that also fascinates me and makes me want to try other bananas. But most of the bananas that are available here and all of the mass available bananas in North America are the Cavendish. They're all the same. They're exactly the same for now, until they all die. So part of the story is the science of the people who are trying to figure out a way. How do you breed new breeds of varieties of banana when they're sterile or almost sterile? And there's a lot there. There's a question of GMO. I think that Dan Capel makes a really compelling point that even if you don't like the idea of GMO food, which frankly doesn't bother me too much, because crossbreeding various plants is GMO on a large scale, and we've been doing that for thousands of years. But even if you don't like the idea of specific, precise genetic alteration of foodstuffs and plants in general, his argument is bananas are sterile. So if we can genetically modify a banana that people will like to eat, and that perhaps are more resilient, so that the conditions in which bananas are farmed could be more humane, and that there could be more reasonable fair trade bananas that we can eat, and that the people who make them can live reasonable lives instead of the horrible exploitation that happens in banana workers today. By the way, if you're somebody who stopped eating grapes because of the United Farm Workers strikes over the problems in the grape cultivation business, especially in California, you should probably not be eating bananas. It is a sordid story. They're so tasty, but it's not great. So Capel's argument is, if a GMO banana can solve all that, we should just do it, because GMO bananas will still be sterile, and so you won't have to worry about them sort of spreading out of control. The big fear, though, is that, you know, these diseases are going to attack the banana and make it inedible and ungrowable. So there's a lot here. I love the idea. This gets back to some of the other books I've talked about here. I love the idea that what we assume is this eternal thing that's always been there is absolutely not. And when you think about it, yeah, sure, we haven't had cars for more than about 100 years. But bananas, you think, well, it's a plant. We've had that for, nope. You know, bananas have been around a very long time, but the banana that we know is an industrial product. And there are lots of other bananas that are very different. And we should probably start moving toward eating those bananas. Also, apparently, the Cavendish banana is really crappy, and that the other bananas are way better. So I'm going to go to my local Whole Foods, where occasionally there is a different banana, and I'm excited about that. And I'm going to recommend that if you are interested in things like science and society changes and the supply chains of the fruit companies and the menace of a spreading disease that could harm this important foodstuff and how genetic testing is making bananas for Africa so villages can actually feed themselves. All of that is in Banana. It's about a 10-year-old book, but it's still good as far as I'm concerned. There are slight black spots on the outside. It's maybe sweeter than it was 10 years ago, but it's still entirely edible. You don't have to make a bread out of it just yet. Get it? Anyway, I'm Jason Snell. That was a banana joke. Don't slip on the peel. There's a whole thing about banana peels, too, by the way. Anyway, this is Recently Read.